This recording, Germany 8, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was the veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bath the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." So I was born in Memel, which at that time was Lithuania. So for the first 10 years I lived in Memel. Both my parents were German, but my father's ancestors came from Russia. And I was born in 1934. At that time, this town, Memel, was not even known as Memel. It was known as Klaipeda. And it is again now, if you look it up on the map, it's again Klaipeda, which is not that uncommon for European border towns to change to and fro. And in 1939, it had the same or similar fate as Austria. It was annexed by the Germans. So Austria in 1938, and the part where I was born, Memel, was annexed in 1939. And I have seen Hitler. Because when the Germans came, there was a big parade in town, and I would say people were happy to become part of Germany, and it was a peaceful annexation. I think not a single shot was fired, but it became then German and stayed German till 45, but we fled from the Russians in 44 as the Russians advanced westward towards the end of the war. My mother and us children fled summer of 44 and arrived in what later became West Germany. And so I grew up in the Frankfurt area from February 45 till 53 when I started to study medicine. I had accepted a position in Berlin to start on September the 1st, 1961, which was 2 weeks after the wall was built August 12, 1961. So my father, who, like me, was a physician, said, "You're not married, you cannot go to Berlin, it's a mouse trap, and once the Russians take over, you will not get out ever." So listening to my father, I said, "Well, where should I go?" And he said, "Well, I have a friend in Mainz." So from 61 to 68, I was in Mainz. There was a place where I got married to the same wife I still have. Had two children born over there, and then we came to this country in 68 because I had an offer to join a well-known professor here in town. What happens nowadays in Germany, and it is for a linguist like you or a voice coach, it's a sad affair that subtleties in the areas of Germany where dialect is still spoken disappear. And it disappears because of television. Television is almost exclusively High German. And so even if you go to Munich and you turn on radio or TV to get the news or get a play or a comedy session, it is all in High German. And that type of German goes back to Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther, but Martin Luther, because the Germans don't have the diphthong for Luther. You can say Martin Luther King, that's all right, but you cannot call the reformer of the church Martin Luther. It was Martin Luther, please. Liebe auf den ersten Blick ist eine leicht verständliche Sache. Von einem Wunder kann man erst nach vielen Jahren gegenseitigen Anblickens sprechen. The actual translation is, love at first sight is easily understood, but you can only talk of a miracle after many years of looking at each other.